Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. I will be reading from John 20, verses 19 through 31. And if you are so inclined, you can follow along on the back of the bulletin. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God.
What a celebration we had on last week on Easter. And I realize that I'm starting to get to that age that for every celebration I have, I need to have a nap or even days of nap. And that's what I had to do last week to recover, because we had such a great celebration. And it was just last week that we came together at the empty tomb and finding the joy of seeing anew. Finding that the very first sermon was written by a woman named Mary Magdalene, who says, "I have seen the Lord." She went from not recognizing that she had seen our risen Lord to the wonderful proclamation of having seen. Remember, on that same morning that she had gone to the disciples and told them that the tomb was empty. And so they ran and saw that, in fact, the tomb was empty, and it says that they believed. And post-resurrection, the disciples continue to have sightings and experiences with Jesus, and the other gospels talk about these different sightings, the one where on the road to Emmaus and where they didn't recognize him until they actually sat and broke bread and suddenly they were able to see. Or other passages that echo the one that we just read, all pointing to them seeing and believing. Luke and John mention doubt. Yet only does our John passage mention Jesus breathing on them. It is sort of what sets this account apart from the others. But for whatever reason, on this what is often called Doubting Thomas Sunday, we lock into the mentioning of doubt instead of the other parts. And if I might be given a little bit of liberty to imagine what the disciples must have been going through. Remember that the disciples had just witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. They had witnessed this horror and watched Jesus take his last breath. Perhaps they even felt the earth that quaked. And they had witnessed the anguish and grief of Mary as she watched her son suffer. They had experienced trauma. Then on their first Easter morning, Mary came and found an empty tomb. But remember, she thought that they had taken Jesus' body and done something with it. And she was grieved and worried. Trauma. Then Jesus appears and they discover that all that he had said would happen indeed happened. And oh, happy day. Yet the hearts of some did not change about Jesus. And for many of those that opposed him made now the disciples enemies of the state. And so they go back to Galilee, and some say that they went back to the very upper room where they had the Last Supper, and they locked the doors, afraid for their fate. Trauma. It was a lot. Even the joy of Easter was an emotional roller coaster. Have you ever had situations or trauma or grief or pain or stresses that have left you breathless? Felt like all of the wind had escaped you, wondering if you could even catch your next breath or if you'd ever be able to breathe the way that you had before. And I believe that this is what the disciples were going through. And so what does Jesus do? Breathe into them. Let us pray. O gracious God of all peoples, breathe your Holy Spirit upon us this day, that we may see the peace and be filled with the joy of the risen Christ. Teach us how to speak Jesus' words of forgiveness, so that we may be agents of reconciliation and peace and love in a broken and troubled world. Amen. When I was a child, I suffered from asthma. And I remember clearly my very first asthma attack. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. I was at my babysitter's house, and it was dark outside, and it was nearing time for bed. And we were watching Golden Girls. And I remember the scary feeling when I noticed that my breath was becoming labored. And I could not seem to catch my breath. And every time I attempted, my chest felt heavier and heavier as my airways became more and more constricted. And I remember the feeling of panic as my breath that I had taken for granted felt like it was betraying me. And as I gasped for air, my babysitter thought I was laughing because it sounded the same to her. And so she thought that, I mean, it was a funny part of Golden Girls. But as the sound continued, she noticed that something was wrong. And so she began to ask me question after question, but when you can't breathe, answering questions sort of doesn't work. But she figured out that something was really wrong, and so she called my mom, and to the hospital we went. And I remember the tubes that they placed down my nose, to which it wouldn't end up being the last time. So I didn't like the tubes going in, but I remember the tubes going into my nose and that feeling of relief as I begin to be able to breathe again. And as a child, my asthma was often triggered by asthma, but most often it was triggered by stress. When I had something that really stressed me out, or if I had an overly emotional day, here came the asthma attack. And it would seem like this was any other day, except that my babysitter was a little scary. She was really tall, and she wasn't the nicest of people. And her house seemed really, really creepy to me. And here it was, it seemed like I was going to have to spend the night. And so here came the asthma attack. So be it the trauma of stress or the trauma of ordinary things like, you know, being allergic to earth, to which my body seems to, for whatever reason, think that earth is foreign to it. I became breathless, gasping for air. And it's funny how when your body is going through trauma, your senses can get a little off. You don't see the same. You don't hear the same. Your perception is off, and then even your cognition seems a little bit impaired. It felt like suddenly I was in an alternate universe. The more I tried to tell myself to calm down, the more I couldn't breathe, and the worse everything seemed to get. The more I gasped, the harder it became to gasp. Well, until the sweet relief of all of the treatments that they give you when you have asthma attacks. And I believe that this is what the disciples were going through. Their trauma kept them from being able to see straight, and everything seemed upside down. They had been left breathless until Jesus broke in and breathed into them. Then the world could look upside right again. See, breathing and breath is such a universal thing that it happens so continuously that we don't even stop to think about the fact that we're doing it right now. We are sitting in our chairs and breathing, and we don't even notice. We have not noticed the relationship between our lungs and our other parts of our anatomy as we are breathing in, breathing out. As we came in this morning and we greeted each other, we used words, and that used our breath, and we never even took notice. Your neighbor is sitting next to you, and you do not even notice their breath and their breathing. Yet our breathing is connected to each other. It connects us even to creation that is breathing alongside us. Our breathing connects us to the world around us. And I think that we have somewhat become a little bit more aware because the pandemic made us a little bit more aware of our breathing as we had to worry about just how connected we have been and how to try and avoid passing COVID to one another and how it spread. So where we often take our breath for granted, and it's not until it's labored or our last, Jesus is reminding us this morning to breathe. I know it's Doubting Thomas Sunday. The Sunday where we talk about doubt and our unbelief. And in fact, I had written a completely different sermon, and it was called Reasonable Doubt, to talk about all about our doubt. But as I looked at this passage again with resurrection eyes, I see that this passage is not as much about doubt as we'd like to focus. It's certainly there, but I think there's more to the conversation that Jesus is having with us that helps us even as we doubt. Our passage begins with the disciples being behind locked doors due to fear, and Jesus breaks through their locked doors of fears and offers them peace. And as pastors love to say, that'll preach. Jesus breaking through our locked doors of fears, and how much do we need to hear that? The other interesting thing is that Jesus does not knock on the door. He doesn't wait to be invited in. He simply enters, not like a thief, but like a shepherd. When a firefighter comes to the house that is engulfed in flames, the firefighter doesn't knock, but comes right in. That's what Jesus did. In their time of trauma, he simply broke in. Breaking into our world, breaking into our circumstances, breaking into our trauma, breaking into our grief. Jesus breaks and offers them peace and then shows them his hands and his sides. Him showing them his hands and his sides reminds them and takes them directly to the cross, reminding them that he is their Savior and Messiah. And so our fear is no match to Jesus' peace. Our fears and our doubts are not greater than the cross. On the cross, Jesus took on the horrors of our fears and our doubts and our pride and overcame them through sacrificial love. But Jesus' conversation does not end there. Again, he offers them peace, reminds them who he is, and breathes into them. He breathed into them that had been left breathless due to fear of persecution, feeling doubt in their hearts, overwhelmed by the trauma of all that had happened, the grief and feeling like they didn't know what was going to happen next, and missing just being with Jesus. Them that wondered what in the world just happened. Was it all real? What had we just witnessed? Them that had been left breathless, Jesus breathes into them. There is a Lutheran pastor of the Lutheran Church of Newtons, and his name is John K. Stendhal. And he asked a question that I, in my many times of reading this passage, have never stopped to think about, and it sounds so weird. He offers an incarnational question thinking of Jesus' humanity, and he asks, what did his breath smell like? He asked if it smelled like springtime. Was there something like heaven in it? Did it smell like the wine and the food that he had shared with the disciples just 3 days before? Did the disciples recognize the smell of meals shared in Galilee? Did it smell like the gall that was given to him on the cross or burial spices, or was there a lingering smell of the grave? I think these questions relate to the relationship found in our breathing, relationship found in our breath. He's really asking, did Jesus' breath smell like grace? Did it smell like the relationship God has with all of creation? Did it smell like the bridge between on earth as it is in heaven? Did it smell like life? Because remember, God breathes grace. Breathes forgiveness, breathes loving relationship. Jesus breathes relationship between him and humankind. Remember that it was Jesus that was there at the beginning, breathing into us, speaking life and creation into being. The next move in our passage this morning is the interaction between Jesus and Thomas. And it should be noted, though, that Thomas was simply late to the party. He had missed the entire interaction where Jesus had already shown his wounds on his hands and his side. He had missed where the disciples had already proclaimed that they have seen the Lord and believed because of their seeing. And so Thomas says that unless he too sees the mark of the nails in his hands and puts his fingers in the mark of the nails in the wounds, he would not believe. But what we see is still the disciples' reliance on the relationship between their seeing and belief. And it makes sense because in our times of trauma, we often feel like we don't see God. We want evidence of God's presence. The disciples believed because they saw, and Thomas is saying that I will not believe until I see too. But again, Jesus reminds them and us to breathe. In our times of grief and trauma, God breaks in and breathes into us. Breathes a relationship that is fuller than our sight, but our whole being as breathing forces us to do. So Jesus comes to the house this time, and Thomas is the one that is there. And it seems that this breaking in is only for Thomas, who had missed the encounter before. And so a reminder that it doesn't matter if we came early or late to the party, we're never too late for an encounter with God. He offered him peace and invited Thomas to relate to him, knowing that Thomas had not been privy to the previous lesson on breathing. He invited him not only to touch or to see, but an invitation to be in relationship and believe. And because he was still in this relationship between sight and belief, he proclaimed his belief, "My Lord and my God." And while the next words seem to be where it seems that Jesus is rebuking his disbelief and his reliance on sight, it really was not. It was an exercise on breathing. Jesus breathes into him by saying that he wants more of a relationship than a relationship based upon sight. He wants a relationship where he experiences a relationship in full, a relationship that is holistic, mind, body, and spirit, a relationship where we are in him and he is in us. It's interesting that Thomas is often called the twin because it seems that Jesus is asking and inviting him to be in relationship where they are twins. We, like Thomas, are invited to this twinning relationship where we recognize Jesus in ourselves and ourselves in Jesus. A relationship that feels as natural as breathing. So Jesus invites Thomas and the disciples and us to breathe, to be able to breathe in life and exhale life, to breathe in love and exhale love, to breathe relationships that give life. And so that means that our words as extensions of our breath should be used to give life, peace, and love. But there are things that often impair our spiritual breathing. It impairs our emotional breathing. It impairs our relationships. Many of us are gasping for air and feeling breathless. We're all dressed up in however we want to be this morning. We're propped up, pretending, when the truth is that many of us are sitting here as wounded children. Many of us have been locked behind the walls of trauma, pain, rage, hurt, unforgiveness, and hopelessness. Impaired and imprisoned by fear. Jailed by the shame of our doubt. And many of us have come here today praying that Jesus would break in and break through and breathe life into us, breathe grace into us, breathe forgiveness, breathe into us, O Holy Spirit. We are tired of being breathless, tired of being breathless in our relationships with each other and our, and if we're honest, maybe even our relationships with God. May we feel Jesus breathing into us this day, breathing forgiveness, breathing presence and community, breathing peace and reconciliation, redemption and love. Breathe, O God, your resurrection breath on us this day. Last week on Easter, we were invited to see anew. And this week, we, Easter people, are invited to breathe as resurrection people. Knowing that in our trauma, grief, pain, fear, suffering, and even doubt, God is breaking in and breaking through. Breaking in as our Savior to breathe life into us, freeing us to be able to breathe again. And now with resurrection breath, breathe into us. We are invited to have resurrection breath. Having resurrection breath means that we are speaking and doing the gospel of love, of peace, of justice. It means that we are speaking and doing life. Let us breathe anew. Let us breathe a relationship with each other that sees each other as twins of Jesus. Let us breathe in a way that considers the best in each other. Let us breathe in a way that hears Jesus in each other, that remembers the great crowd of witnesses. There's a quick fun fact. The very air that we breathe contains the breath of our ancestors, our first cries as infants, the laughter of Jesus and the disciples when they broke bread. The air that we breathe contains the last breath of our loved ones, the last breath of Jesus, and the very exchange that he had with Thomas in this passage. And so let us breathe that in. Let us breathe in a way that speaks as witnesses to their stories. Breathe in a way that is just as generous as God has been in giving us this breath. I invite you to breathe. Thanks be to God.